Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
I need you to help me this morning in regards to the sermon, in regards to what I'm going to talk about. Lindin, will it work in the back, the slides? Hey, look at that. Because what I'm going to talk to us about, is the infilling and overflowing of the Holy Spirit. Last week we talked about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation. And I want to talk with us about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And why I'm asking for your help is that I hope that you would be able to find something in today's talk, in today's scriptures, that you can internalize and that you can leave here with, that there would be one thing. Because I'm gonna talk about a lot of things. We're gonna go over a good portion of scripture. And I just don't have the ability to communicate well enough for every person to hear something. Can you find something from the Lord? Could you ask the Lord for something? Lord, would you give me something personally? Lord, would you give me something that I can internalize and will make a difference in my life? Lord, we pray you do that for all of us. When a person receives Christ, there is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell within them. And not only is he active with them, but he is then active in them. And there's a continual work of the Holy Spirit in our lives that has to do with cleansing. We would use the word sanctification, leading us, teaching us. And the Holy Spirit is given as a seal or a guarantee of our inheritance. Christ is coming back to take us home. There's this deposit, the Holy Spirit, the seal of our guaranteed inheritance. But subsequent to salvation, that's what we're going to talk about. So following that salvation experience, following the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, there exists something Scripture talks about as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to, as I talk through this message, I'm going to read my notes, because this isn't particularly, I wouldn't say a sermon. We're going to go through a lot of doctrine. Loved ones, doctrine matters. Doctrine matters. What we believe matters. Scripture tells us, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. John talked about people talking about various degrees or perspectives on truth. We so have to rightly divide the word of God. There exists the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is a clothing with power for us to witness, and a clothing with power for us to be in service. It's not, baptism of the Holy Spirit is not a reward for Christian service, and it is not a reward or even a sign of maturity. Prior to salvation, the Holy Spirit is with us, drawing us. But at the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. But there is another experience subsequent to salvation where the Holy Spirit comes upon us. With us, within us, upon us. And the Holy Spirit comes upon the believer to anoint and energize. Years ago, we used to say there was an unction for the individual for special service. There is a difference between spiritual life and spiritual power. And there is also a difference between spiritual power over sin and spiritual power for service. And it doesn't need to be confusing, but it does need to be taught. And so that's what we're going to walk through in these next few moments that we have together. What do you mean when you say the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the infilling of the Holy Spirit? See, there's a difference. I think sometimes there's a difference. We say a word, but we have a different definition of what that word means. For example, I don't know, John, I don't remember if you quoted the scripture this morning or not. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved. John 20:31, John concludes his gospel by saying, these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and by believing in him, you'd have life in his name. John did quote John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe. So we have this concept of belief. All you need to do is believe. And there are many people who will say, well, I'm a believer. But that's not what the Bible is talking about when it's using that word believe, because James will help us and say, you believe there is one God? He almost says, big deal. So what? Even the demons believe and tremble. And so it's this point of what does the baptism of the Holy Spirit mean? The biblical understanding of belief is more than a mental acknowledgement. It's, I believe that Jesus is Lord, and therefore I surrender my life to him. And so it's that sometimes that's the confusion that happens when we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're saying one word, and the global church is thinking something else. So when we refer to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the infilling of the Holy Spirit, they're biblical terms, and we're going to go through that. When we speak with the global church, so other denominations, sometimes their perspective is different than ours. When we say you are filled with the Spirit, they're not thinking about the infilling, they're thinking about the indwelling when you were born again. So when we accept Christ into our lives, the Holy Spirit comes to be tabernacled within us. There is an indwelling. But that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about the indwelling, that moment where you were born again, the spiritual life, new life. We're talking about the subsequent subsequent experience called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not about salvation. It's about empowerment for service. And there is a difference between the indwelling and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The apostles were converted under the ministry of Jesus. Cleansed followers who had spiritual authority, whose names were written in the book of life, they were saved. Last week we talked about when Jesus appeared to them in the upper room, or in a room, and said to them, peace be to you. And then he said, receive the Holy Spirit, and he breathed on them. Do you remember that last week? It was this spiritual, they were spiritually alive, receive the Holy Spirit, and he breathed on them. Just like we went all the way back to the book of Genesis, when God breathed the breath of life into Adam, into his nostrils, and man became a living being. We saw that again in John's gospel, where he said, receive the Holy Spirit. But then he said, he commanded them to tarry in Jerusalem. It says this in Luke 24:49. It says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. He didn't say tarry in Jerusalem until you're really a Christian. He didn't say tarry in Jerusalem until you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He didn't say tarry in Jerusalem until you really become followers of Christ and are saved. But he said, tarry until you are endued with power from on high, the promise of my Father. Jesus did not suggest to them that they tarry in Jerusalem until they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. He didn't suggest it. He commanded it. He commanded it. Jesus brought a distinction between John's baptism unto repentance and the Holy Spirit's baptism with fire. And the disciples understood this. When we receive this baptism, when we are clothed, we get power. They understood that. We get power. Jesus said this, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power. They understood that. They just missed the purpose. We get to overthrow Rome. Until you are endued with power, okay. And then Jesus, when they had come together, they asked Jesus, saying, Lord, will at this time you restore the kingdom of it to Israel? Here we are. We're going to get power. All right. Death to the Romans. Away we go. You're going to free us from this oppression. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit was never given as some kind of directive for an overthrow of a political or a militant overthrow of the Roman government. Let's look at scripture together. We're going to walk through the book of Acts. Starting at Acts 1:8, it says this. Jesus speaking, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Power, dunamis. Many preachers have talked about what that word means, dunamis. From it we get English words like dynamite, dynamo, dynamic.
It means strength, power, the ability to perform effectively, force, abundance. It's this strength. You shall receive power. Yes! To what? To be my witness. To be witnesses unto me. The word witness, in the Greek, it's marteu. From it, we would get the English word martyr. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Not to be charismaniac. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you to lay down your life for me. To be witnesses unto me wherever you go, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. You are going to be clothed with power to represent me wherever you go, even unto death. Upon receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Look at the verses in chapter 2. We're going to look at five places in Scripture. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, it says this: when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Sometimes we see pictures and their hair is blowing and everything. It was the sound of a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. It filled the place, then it filled the people. So when we come to church and we dedicate this, I mean, we spend time praying for our service together on Sunday mornings at 9:30. We're praying for the place and we're praying for the people. But it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. And one sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so we have this first outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Last week I was reading a devotional that had to do with it, and it said it's when the power of the Holy Spirit was detonated in the church. And off they went, the church was born. Just some things to note in this before we look at the passages of Scripture we're going to continue in. Number one, Jesus initiated this. There was a sound from heaven. This wasn't the disciples' idea, and they had no precedent. There was a sound from heaven. Jesus is the one who baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. Each one was baptized. No one was left out. Isn't that good news? Each one was baptized. No one was left out. And there's clearly a distinction, however, between being filled with the Spirit and speaking in tongues. Sometimes we associate it or have had associated, it's the same thing. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. There is a distinction between those. They're not the same thing. We saw some immediate results in the text. They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Wasn't they had no control? Wasn't that they were a robot and had the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. They were still in control, and it wasn't an out-of-mind experience, but the Spirit gave them utterance. We'll talk about that. The world noticed. Peter preached with boldness and anointing. The Holy Spirit convicted the hearers, and 3,000 people got saved. And we see this transformation. Disciples who were huddled behind closed doors for fear of the Jews, men who had, even after the resurrection, gone back to fishing. Now they can't be kept behind closed doors, and they're in the marketplace. And we see the Old Testament promise was fulfilled when Joel said this: and afterward I will pour out. This is where we get the outpouring, the coming upon, where we pour out. It says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your younger men will see visions, even on my servants, both men and women. I will pour out my Spirit on those days. What's important for Pentecostal charismatic churches such as we to remember is we never exalt the empowering ministry of the Holy Spirit over the redemptive work of Jesus. We never exalt the empowering work of the Holy Spirit over the redemptive work of Jesus. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will testify of me, Jesus said. What binds us together with other believers is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What binds us together with other believers is the blood of Jesus. We are family. That makes us family. Regards to independent or denominational churches, there is only one church, and those who are bought with the blood of Jesus, those who name the name of Christ. And sadly, the baptism of the Holy Spirit has become something that has divided the church. And it was never intended to divide the church. It was intended to empower the church. And isn't it, I suppose that really makes sense. from the devil's ploy, from his perspective, if he can't keep you from being saved, he wants to keep you from being powerful, being effective as we can be. But it's essential that we're baptized with the Holy Spirit. It was a command of Jesus to his followers. We need the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit for effective witness. The church will never do what we are called to do, never be who we are called to be without the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We need him. There we go. Somebody. Here's the five accounts, the scriptural narratives that we're going to walk through. And I'm not going to spend a long time on any of them, so don't worry. We will get to cake. You may not be worried, but I am. here's the thing about the narratives, the stories. When we read the stories in the Bible, it doesn't always mean what should have been done or what shouldn't have been done. There are a lot of things we read in the Bible and think, well, that shouldn't have happened. Well, that was, but it's recorded. Or, well, that happened, so that must be. What we're going to look for in these five passages has to do with at least precedent, if not pattern. Precedent is not always pattern, but we're going to see some common things that happened in the book of Acts about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. One text that we're not going to look at is Acts chapter 4, where it says they were all filled with the Spirit, because those same people that show up in Acts chapter 4 after they've been threatened, they show up to a prayer meeting, the place where they were assembled was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. That text, those same people were here at Acts chapter 2, the original outpouring baptism of the Holy Spirit. When it talks about being filled with the Spirit, Ephesians will tell us, am I talking too fast? Okay. I have to check. Ephesians says, be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine, with his dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. The tense is continually be filled and filled and filled and filled. And so that's what we see in Acts chapter 4. We're not going to deal with that text. But there's five other places that we're going to look at in the book of Acts, at least to see what happened. Acts chapter 2, verse 5 through 13. This continuing on this first Pentecost experience. Verse 5 says this, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, when the sound of a mighty rushing wind, when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Now they're speaking in tongues. And when they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born, Parthians and Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Perga, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya, adjoining Cyrene, all this area, visiting Rome, Jews and proselytes, people who have become Jews, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God, speaking in human languages. And that isn't always the case. Sometimes we speak with tongues of human languages, earthly languages. Sometimes we speak in heavenly languages. Sometimes we speak in ancient languages that nobody recognizes. It's just, but in this case, what they understood, they heard them saying the wonderful works of God in languages that were unknown to the speaker. They didn't know how to speak it. I've got a Bible here this morning that's half Spanish and half English. I can read half that Bible. I'm going to learn to read the whole thing. Others mocking, they're full of new wine. Let me back up, verse 11. Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what could this mean? Others mocking said, they're tipsy. they're full of new wine. Here's a summary. They had been praying. Okay, here's the pattern and the precedent. They had been praying. They were in the upper room praying. No one laid their hands on them. And they spoke in tongues. No one interpreted. You know how it says in the Bible, if somebody speaks in tongues, it needs to be interpreted. That's not what happened here. There's context for those verses. No one interpreted, but the foreigners understood. We understand what they're saying. And they're glorifying God. Next section. Persecution hits. Stephen is martyred. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses unto me. You shall receive the strength, the dynamic strength to lay down your life. It wasn't just metaphorical. Stephen did this. He was martyred. You shall receive power. Stephen's martyred persecution hits. Philip travels to Samaria, and watch what happens. And this will rattle the world. The Samaritans getting saved. It's one step from complete Gentiles. This is the Jewish half-breed dogs. This is those half-breeds from the Jewish perspective. And Philip goes to Samaria. At one point, James and John will say, Jesus, you want us to call down fire on these Samaritans? No, you're missing the point why I came. But it says this in Acts chapter 8, verse 12. But when they believed, these Samaritans, but when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Watch. So they believed in Jesus and they were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, a sorcerer believed. And when he was baptized, he believed and was baptized, continued with Philip, and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God. Listen to that. They had received the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They had a faith experience in Jesus. Philip preached Jesus to them. They had a faith experience in Jesus. They sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. There was already an indwelling, but watch, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them. It's not the indwelling, it's this coming upon none of them. They'd only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's not making that insignificant. They had only been. It's not phrased, that's not the tone, but that's there was more. That was the initial steps. They laid hands on them. They received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered the money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. What happened in that text? Peter and John prayed. They laid their hands on them. It does not say in that text that they spoke with other tongues, but something visible or audible took place. Something noticeable took place when they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And Simon, the ex-sorcerer, said, I want that. Give me that power. Something visible or audible took place. Saul, on the road to Damascus, has this encounter with Jesus. He's knocked down. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that he was on a donkey or horse. He was knocked down to the ground. Ends up going into Damascus, goes to Straight Street, stays at a man's house. And God speaks to another man named Ananias, and this is the text. He's going to instruct Ananias to go pray for Saul. Watch. Verse 15 of Acts chapter 9. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way, entered the house, and laying his hands on him, on Saul, who would use his Greek name Paul shortly, he said, Brother Saul, that's important, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he was received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. This is the summary. Ananias prayed, laid hands on him. He said, Brother Saul, not soon to be Brother Saul. Saul had an encounter with Jesus. There's no evidence of speaking in tongues. Clearly, Paul spoke in tongues, whether immediately or eventually. Immediately or eventually, we don't know. Second last section. Peter had been in prayer. He saw a vision. And then he was compelled to preach Jesus to a member of the Italian regiment named Cornelius. We fast forward all the way to chapter 10 of the book of Acts, and then we'll finish off with chapter 19. Acts chapter 10 says this. When Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit, Peter showed up at Cornelius' house, and he's telling them about Jesus. Whole family, people gathered. Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who had believed were astonished. When Peter came to Cornelius' house, he brought some Jewish men with him, and they were astonished, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. So it's not just the Jews, it's not just the Samaritans one step away, it's now the Gentiles. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and they asked him to stick around for a few days. Here's the summary. Cornelius had been praying. There was no laying on of hands. They did speak in tongues. No one interpreted. They all spoke at the same time. And we know that they spoke in tongues loudly because they were Italian. My first dinner at Audrey's house ever, I said to her, "Why is everyone yelling?" She said, "They're just talking." It's like, no, they're yelling. They somewhere in his sermon, they accepted Christ. Acts chapter 19 is the last one. It's the ministry of Paul to the believers in Ephesus. He shows up and watch what happens. Acts chapter 19, verse 1. And then we'll wrap things up. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" Isn't that an interesting phrase? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "In what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance." Remember John the Baptist crying out, "Repent, repent, repent." That's what his baptism was all about. But watch, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Jesus. "There is one coming mightier than I who will baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. I think if you do the math, I believe this is 20 years after Pentecost. Like, there's a chunk of time that has passed by. As we read these passages, we discover this. We affirm that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a believer's experience. As was the case of Cornelius, our best understanding is that during the sermon they got saved. They just didn't wait for the altar call. But what we understand is this. This is what the narratives teach us. Jesus is the one who baptizes the believer in the Holy Spirit. Jesus does this. He may partner with people, but the laying on of hands, sometimes we saw that, sometimes we didn't. It's much like leading someone to Christ. Loved ones, we don't save anyone. Jesus does. Often he uses people, giving a dedication prayer on a Sunday morning in your workplace, wherever you are. He uses people to share the good news, but the saving is Jesus. We don't save anybody. We don't baptize anyone in the Holy Spirit. Jesus does that. You may have had that experience where people laid hands on you, prayed for you. God partners with us, but it's Jesus who is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. By next Sunday, you will see a sign on our wall that indicates that. Not because of this sermon, we had that in the works. But what the narratives teach us is this. In most cases, the baptism of the Holy Spirit came after somebody was praying, after a time of prayer. And in most cases, the disciples laid their hand on those who were seeking. About tongues, these accounts clearly identify speaking in tongues as a primary physical evidence of this experience. And in fact, Peter authenticates the Gentiles' experience because it happened just the same way. Holy Spirit came upon them and began to speak in tongues just like he did for us. Paul spoke in tongues either immediately or eventually. We find that out in other scriptures. And Simon, he saw something. He saw something, heard something. There was something that took place. You can't prove that it was speaking in tongues. So the experience is for Christians, Jews, Gentiles, or everyone in between, which would be the Samaritans. Peter said this, Acts chapter 2. Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises to you and to your children and to all who are afar off throughout all the ages, as many as the Lord our God will call. What happens when you ask to be baptized? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to read a quote to you from a book called Doing What Jesus Did. It says this: we know that classical Pentecostal theology states that you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit until you speak in tongues. We don't believe that. However, we believe that the gift is given when we ask in faith, just like salvation. Just like salvation. Then we can speak in a spiritual language if we understand that we can and we want to. Baptized with the Holy Spirit, tongues is something, it's not the same. Believe when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, by faith you receive it, you now have the ability to speak in tongues, whether you choose to or not, that is different. But, and I love the quote, they continue to say, but because ministers do not always give a thorough scriptural basis for receiving, people often respond with a misunderstanding and therefore end up with a less than satisfactory experience. Luke tells us this, Jesus speaking, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Ask for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? Come on. Of course not. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? And so I ask you this morning, would you like to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Paul writes this, and specifically about tongues, he said, I would that you would all speak in tongues. It doesn't mean I wish that you could. It means I wish that you would. I wish that you would, a heavenly prayer language. Here's what will happen. If you'd like to respond, we're going to close with a song, and then in a minute, just at the conclusion of our service, if you would like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that baptism of the Holy Spirit, and be released in your heavenly prayer language, we want to pray with you. Here's what it will look like. Because in lots of churches and lots of settings, sometimes you want to run for the door when stuff happens. Not run for the altar. Listen, this is what we'll do. We will pray for you. We will pray for you. Then we will lead you in a prayer to ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. So pray, Jesus, Lord, will you baptize him in the Holy Spirit now? Pray, pour out your Spirit upon him. And then you will say, Lord, I probably open your heart, open your hands. Lord, please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Then, if it's okay with you, we will gently lay our hands upon you, the laying on of hands. And then we will begin to softly and quietly pray in our heavenly prayer language. We don't have to yell. We don't have to. Authority has nothing to do with volume. Right? Anytime a police officer starts yelling, you're losing all kinds of authority. You've got the authority already. Authority has nothing to do with volume. We will begin to pray in our heavenly prayer language, and then you can join us when you're ready. When you can just simply join us. We will give you space and grace. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you can begin speaking in your heavenly language. Remember this, it's Jesus who baptizes you in the Holy Spirit. And for me, this is the primary pattern that I follow. Invite people up, pray for them, have the person actually pray themselves and say, Lord, would you fill me with your Spirit? And then I lay my hands on them and just begin to speak in tongues. Shataka boro tos hiata tarabata. Hiata boko hiata tarabata. And give them space and grace just to begin to praise the Lord in English or in Yoruba or in Tagalog or whatever your heart language would be, and then begin to speak in tongues. And many people that I've talked to who have had some kind of a block, I have said, well, what have you said? And they've said, well, I haven't said anything. So, well, that's the problem. You need to say something and just begin to speak. Remember, as the Spirit gives you utterance, and don't try and think it through. Don't try and come up with the words. Just begin to speak, and it's not spooky, it's supernatural, and the Lord releases you in a prayer language. Sometimes it happens immediate, sometimes it happens over a process of time. But we will just trust Jesus to baptize us with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're here this morning and said, man, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit a long time ago. Would you like a fresh touch? Be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine with dissipation, but continue to be filled and filled and filled. We will pray the Holy Spirit's touch coming upon you fresh over and over and over again. Listen, I got saved in a whacked out meeting. No, not saved. I got filled with the Holy Spirit with in spite of it all. In spite of it all. And you know when how I began to speak in tongues? Oh, I don't remember if this was you, Audrey. Did Lonnie lead you repeat after me? Yeah. Repeat after me. Really? Come on, we're not going to do that. What worked? So we will just trust the Lord. God, we're hungry. Worship team, would you come join me this morning? We're going to close with a song. And we're going to go get our kids and not forget about them. But let's just take a moment. We're going to close with this time of worship. Then we're going to invite people. And we've got others here ready to pray for you. We're going to do that very thing. We're going to lay hands on you. We're going to pray for you. Invite you to pray. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. We're going to lay hands on you. Just begin to speak softly in tongues and allow you to receive the touch that God has for you. Would you go ahead and stand this morning? Let's just with a hearts of worship and love and adoration look to the Lord.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.